Our passage this morning is from the book of Genesis chapter 40. We're going to be considering together the entirety of this chapter. So if you have your Bible with you, open it up to Genesis chapter 40, starting in verse 1. Hear God's word. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against the Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." When the chief baker saw the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered, "This is the interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days, and in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you." On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the cupbearer to his position and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. He placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our Lord stands forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is your word, and it's given to us by your Spirit. And so if we are to understand it, we need your Spirit's help. So Father, would you attend to your word this morning as we gather around your word, believing that you will, from your word, feed us this morning. So Father, attend to your word. Cause it to go forth with great power and accomplish that which you desire it to accomplish among these your people this morning. Father, would you forgive the sins of the preacher, which are many, but help me to make much of Jesus from your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue our study of Genesis, we come to another episode in the life of Joseph. Joseph is the final figure that Moses will spotlight in these closing 10 chapters. If you were here last week or you listened on our Hope Church podcast, you'll recall that Billy preached from chapter 39 about how Joseph, after being sold into slavery by his brothers, found himself serving in the house of an Egyptian official named Potiphar. And God caused Potiphar to see his hand on Joseph, to see on his hand the labors of Joseph. And chapter 39 tells us his master, that is Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he, that is Joseph, did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight. And attended him, and he made him an overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had from the time that he made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had. That the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge because of him. He had no concern about anything but the food he ate. But Potiphar's wife, shall we say, made inappropriate advances toward Joseph. She propositioned him repeatedly, but time and again he refused her advances until one day when she took his garment from him as he fled from her. So then she, in her anger, accused him of violating her. And Joseph was sent to the king's prison. And just like his time in Potiphar's house, God prospers him there, and he finds himself in a position of authority in the prison. So, in fact, look right at the end of chapter 39, starting in verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. That sets the stage for our passage this morning. And so as we consider this text this morning, we're going to look at Joseph's confidence in God's hand in his life. That's verses 1 through 8. We're going to look at the cupbearer's dream, verses 9 to 15. The baker's dream, verses 16 to 19, and the dream interpretation scorecard in verses 20 to 23. So look with me there at this first little section. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and the baker committed an offense against the Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in prison in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in prison, each his own dream and each dream with his own interpretation. When Joseph came in the morning to them, he saw they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were in custody of his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." Many of us have had minor or major squabbles with our siblings. As a dad of five kids, I find that there are several squabbles between each of the children throughout the day. Of the five, two of them are always arguing with each other about something. But in all of your, that may have been your case. If you grew up with siblings, you may have found that you didn't always get along with your siblings. But in all of your squabbles with them, did they ever fake your death to your father? Did you ever find that the sibling who you were crossways with threw you into a pit? Or sold you to Midianite slave traders? Have you had that happen? I have not. Or maybe you have been the object of unwanted flirtation from a coworker. If I had a nickel every time that happened to me, I would not have 5 cents. But maybe you have. But did your resistance of that unwanted flirtation cause you to face trumped up charges and then be thrown into prison? Yeah, me neither. I'm pretty certain that none of us have faced the specific trials that Joseph faces here. But what we have experienced is we have all, in some part, experienced betrayal of some sort. We've all experienced injustice in minor ways and some people in major ways. And in some and some of you have been lied to or lied about. Life is full of unfair disappointments. And although we find ourselves feeling alienated from God when we experience those things, we can take some comfort in the fact that Joseph finds comfort in God in the midst of all of these things. Joseph, unlike all of us, did experience all of those calamities. And God still makes himself known to Joseph throughout it so that Joseph is not fearing, that Joseph is still confident that he belongs to God. We don't know how long Joseph was in prison. We know how old he was when he was betrayed by his brothers. He was 17. We know how old he was when he was elevated to the right hand of Pharaoh. He was 30. But we don't know how long he served in Potiphar's house. And since we don't know how long that lasted, we don't know how long the prison stint was. But we know that Joseph has been a captive of some sort or another long enough for most of us to have given up hope. And yet he's confident that God is with him. And how do I know that? Look at verse 8. They said to him, "We've had dreams and there's no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." Although Joseph has every reason to give up hope, he instead has been given a confidence by God and of God's preserving hand in his life. And here he's confident that because God is with him, he can give them the interpretation of their dreams that they seek. Now, does that mean that God will always give us a divine interpretation to our dreams or to the dreams of another? Of course not. In fact, Hebrews 11 tells us that this sort of revelation didn't indefinitely continue. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world." God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And so as Joseph says, "Do not interpretations belong to God, please tell them to me," he is claiming to be a prophet. He is claiming to know God's will and God's message, and he's claiming to be able to speak on behalf of God. "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." Those are the ways, those many ways in which God spoke would no doubt have included dreams. But the writer to the Hebrews says that he has now fully and finally spoken to us through Christ. He's the fullness. Jesus is the fullness of God's revelation to us. But God here in Genesis chapter 40 has given Joseph the ability to interpret these dreams. But before we get to the interpretation, let's talk about what a cupbearer was. This was a significant position of authority in a king or a Pharaoh's court. The cupbearer was the one who made sure that the king didn't get poisoned from his wine. So the cupbearer served a very trusted role and was in the constant presence of the king, or in this case, the Pharaoh. He would drink the wine first, and if he didn't fall over dead, the king knew he could drink it. That's why I always have my wife taste my food first. Just kidding. Well, let's look at his dream starting in verse 9. "So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. And as soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand.' Then Joseph said to him, 'This is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house, for I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit," meaning the prison. Joseph is able to interpret the cupbearer's dream, and the interpretation is good news. Your stay in this prison will be brief. Pharaoh is going to lift up your head. He's going to restore you back to your position. Only when you are restored, when you're back at the right hand of Pharaoh, remember me. Remember that I'm here and suffering unjustly. Well, you can imagine the baker hearing this interpretation. He's thinking, I like this guy's take on dreams. Man, this guy is good. He's very optimistic. He's very positive about what these dreams mean. I can't wait to hear what glad tidings of great joy he has for me. Chomping at the bit. Tell me what my dream means. When the chief, look at verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream, and there were three cake baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered, this is the interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. Well, what we learn here is there are two ways to have your head lifted. One is in an encouraging way, and the other is in a decapitating way. The cupbearer now is so hoping that Joseph is an accurate dream interpreter, and the baker is so hoping that Joseph doesn't know what he's talking about. Two very similar dreams with two very different interpretations. Well, how did he fare? Look at verse 20. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all of his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So the scorecard on Joseph's dream interpretation practice is a stellar 100%. But what are we to make of this passage? One of the noteworthy things about this passage is the irony of Joseph's situation. It was dreams and a coat that landed Joseph in the first pit. Remember his brothers? He told them of his dreams and how they'd one day bow down to him. And his father gave him this coat, and they took his coat. And when they conspired against him, they said, let us throw him in a pit and see what becomes of this dreamer. It was his dreams and his coat that caused him to be thrown into this pit. And now he's in prison, and Potiphar's wife has his coat. And here he is in the dream practice again. The more things change, the more things stay the same. One of the things we should ask ourselves is, how does this passage point us to Christ? And how does that pointing to Christ encourage us this morning? How does it lift our head in a good way? If Christ is the center and fulfillment of all of the Old Testament, if all of God's revelation in the Bible finds its fullness in Jesus, how does this passage point to Christ and what he will come to do? Well, first of all, we need to say that Jesus is the truer and better Joseph. He, though completely innocent, was arrested and detained, though he had done nothing wrong. The cupbearer was imprisoned for his offenses against the king. The baker was imprisoned for his offenses against the king. But Joseph is where he is because of the sins of his brothers. Joseph is where he is because of the sins of Potiphar's wife. Jesus, likewise, wasn't punished for his wrongdoing. He was punished for yours and for mine. He was pierced for our iniquities. That's what the prophet Isaiah tells us. This is the realization that the thieves on the cross on either side of Jesus made, one of the thieves made. Luke 23 says, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Remember what Joseph told the cupbearer? When you're restored to the right hand of Pharaoh, remember me. Well, this thief crucified next to Jesus, when he realizes that he's the Christ, what does he say? Jesus said to him, and he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, you will be with me today in paradise." The cupbearer was indeed restored to Pharaoh's side. But look at what the last verse of chapter 40 tells us. Yet the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. In one sense, Jesus is all of the people in this account. He's the innocently accused who is suffering for the sins of another. But he's also the cupbearer. We're saved because he drank the cup of the Father's wrath in our place. And he now meets us here week after week with a new cup, the cup of his own shed blood, the cup that is raised to celebrate and remember our pardon, our acquittal that has come at the expense of his death. He's also the baker who serves us the bread of life. He's also the baker who was hung on the tree. John 6, he tells us, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is the truer and better Joseph. He's the true cupbearer who drank the wrath and serves us life. He's the true baker whose body is bread that has come down from heaven. And he's the true king. And our hope is in the fact that he remembers and in the fact that he forgets. What do I mean by that? He forgets our iniquities and our sins. Hebrews 8 tells us, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." So week after week, we drink the cup, we eat the bread, and we do it in remembrance of him. But we say that week after week, "Do this in remembrance of me." But what are we remembering? We're remembering that his covenant promises are true and steadfast, that he does not forget his people, that he stands at the right hand of his Father interceding for his people. And we remember that it is Christ who was speaking through the prophet Jeremiah when he said, "For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more." So one of the things that we're remembering in the supper is we're remembering his forgetfulness of our sins. "For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sins no more." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that your Son forgets our sins, but he remembers his people. That all whom the Father gives the Son, he will lose none but raise them up on the last day. So Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that we can see Jesus in type and shadow here in this passage in Genesis chapter 40. Would you let the fact that he is a Savior who forgets our sins but remembers us, would you let that wash over us again? And would you let it prepare our hearts to come to your table? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.